And perhaps we can turn in our Bibles to over, if we can, to the book of Romans and chapter 1. Romans and chapter 1. And in our exercise of Joshua in particular at the moment, and reminding Israel wants to go and claim the piece of property that God had given to Israel. And they had to possess it. And the word possess includes the word dispossess, to dispossess, so that in order you can possess. In other words, you've got to take care of what's there in order to get yourself in the place to exercise ownership. Now, keeping that in front of you, if you can, in the light of human history, us humans, when we sinned, we lost our relationship to God. And therefore, there are no other gods. So, there's no competition, just God. So us humans, back in Genesis 6, etc., but we were rejecting God. We're rejecting him, considering that we're not so bad. And since we're made, like in Eve said, the devil said to Adam and Eve, you'll know good and evil. And now that they've sinned, they know good and evil, and especially evil. So now, what do we know about us humans? Galatians in chapter 5, 20. One of the works of the flesh, the first word, idolatry. In our heart, idolatry. That's what we have. So what is idolatry? Rejection of God. So what do we do? Having the rejection of God in our heart, we substitute idols and idolatry and religion. We put it out there in place of God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so that's what we got. So we're in bondage. We're dead. That is, we have no life. We need a relationship to God. And we have to get rid of that attitude of unbelief and go from unbelief to believing. So now, and you know it from Romans chapter 1, looking very directly, if I can, in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. Reason, because that when they knew God, and said this 7,000 times, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Idols. We made idols. That's what we did. We have no excuse. We know better. But we go and we make idolatry. We put something else in place of God, our Creator and Savior. We put something else in place of it. So, now, having that little bit and lock it in, over to Romans and chapter 6. So we got a problem. And so when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, that becomes real, we understand it. Until we have life, we don't understand. But when we have life, we recognize the problem that was never there because we always were dead. And when you're dead, you're dead. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're dead. You never think about anything else except you're dead. But when you awake, now you have a struggle that you never saw and never understood. So now, Romans chapter 6, get that, verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants, the word servants, slaves, to obey his servants, slaves, you are to whom you obey, whether unto sin, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And that whole section helps you understand. You got to struggle because your old nature is there and rejects this life. Why does it reject it? Christ died on the cross to condemn it. He crucified it. He isn't allowing, let's adjust, let's go through some counseling and some adjusting, and we'll compromise here and there. There is no adjusting. There is no compromise. Dead. Dead. I'm done with it, like we shared this morning. I'm done. Finished. So when I save you plain, straightway. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, do it just a little bit more so you lock it in. Why? Because Israel has to dispossess the enemy by way of war. And that's the only way they get possession. They have to dispossess. The only way you can enjoy your wonderful relationship to God, if you're saved, is to reckon yourself dead. And don't play with the game. I understand. There's no middle ground, as we shared. So now, over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. And just put it all together in your mind so you see it. Where is the problem? And in Ephesians, in chapter 2, you know all these things. But just put them together. Chapter 2, verse 2, Ephesians. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler of the power, having the authority and might. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh is working in the children of disobedience that don't believe, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we understand. We were there until we got saved. We were in bondage. We were not free. We had to get free. We were in bondage, and someone has to free us. Christ died on the cross to pay the price to set us free. Now, go over again. So, and by the way, just as you do, as you would know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and the end of the verse, that now worketh, chapter 2, verse 2, now worketh in that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The word working, the devil's busy running the show. Running the whole ball of wax. Who owns this system we live in? The devil is over the devil. Sliding over to Second Corinthians. And in Second Corinthians chapter 4. And you will note, chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel, the good news, be hid, in other words, we can't find any good news. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, Now, why can't the lost find it? Why can't unsaved people see and know the difference? In whom, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And as long as you don't believe, you're blind. The way you get sight is to believe, but you don't want to believe. I'll read again verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Reason, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So now, God, what are we looking at? Your wonderful, wonderful grace. And what do we know from Romans and from John 3 and that? He's the God of the world, this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the boss. And you can say, you're the boss. No, we aren't the boss. Every culture, every country, like over in caste system, every country, everywhere, it runs everything. Now you can say you're the boss, but do you know what? The powers that be could come along tomorrow and arrest you. Couldn't they? They come up with something. They could do whatever they want when the powers want to do it. And depending on that, and most of the time it doesn't matter if we're in our country, because as long as you want going into light, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And as long as you enjoy darkness and live in darkness, darkness is content with you. But if you want light, that's when you get in trouble. And so here's the world, and they run us, no matter how you do it. The medicines, the government, the politics, and everything, it runs us. And no matter how easy, you could have whatever. And unless you're in the system, then you can survive somewhat until people in the system want your position. And when they want your position, they're going to do everything to get your job and your position. Powers that be, play the game, who's king of the mountain, etc., etc. The game is played. And us people down below, we have no choice on how we do it. That's why we have America, our 250th anniversary, to remind us of the Declaration, which has almost disappeared. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful kindness, God has gone and done. So Israel was to go and take the land, and God had given the land to them. So therefore, they were to possess it. And God had given it to them. All they had to do is take what God had given and follow the instructions. So now, God has gone, and they are to have an example. God gives them the example of Abraham walked with God, Noah walked with God, Abraham walked with God, etc., etc. And is Moses, David, and Joshua, Caleb, etc., etc., etc. So Israel has the example of what? You just go with God, and God outworks his wonderful will in his most wonderful way. The system doesn't want that. The system is in darkness and doesn't want light. And you know from Hebrews 2 and that, the greatest fear, the whole world system is in bondage to the fear of death until the day they die. The fear of death, the king of all fears, is death. It dominates. When you're in an elevator, when you're on heights, it's death. Death. The king of fears. Now. And so the devil has us, and we're in bondage. To say we aren't is silly. That's why you need Christ had to die to set us free. And Christ is the example of setting us free. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. He was the perfect man to do what? And for 3 1/3 public years, we're in the public, He demonstrated. What do? You honor God for the outworking of God's will in God's way, in God's time, and you honor that. And that's what he did for 3 1/3 years. And he showed us. So there's no question. Don't when you sit there and say, well, remember the Lord, would you just think this morning and that? As the Father sent me, so sent I you. You let God said, let the Lord Jesus Christ be your example. And follow, we just, John 12. We read it this morning. As follow me, if you want to serve me, follow me. If you want to serve me, stay right behind me and follow me. I'm your example. I'm not telling you something you can't do. I'm going to show you how to do it. You honor God morning, noon, and night with thanksgiving, and you trust him. I'm going to show you how. How far can you go? I'm going to show you all the way to the cross. Not my will, but the Father's will shall be done. And I did it all the way, said the Lord. I showed you how to do it. So don't tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me that at all. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you can, and what else do we know as for the Israelites? They were to know that all that God had given them, the land, was holy. And every place that they put their foot, God had given it to them. It's God's place. You go way back to Moses, Exodus 3 and all of that, to the burning bush, Exodus 3. And Moses, what do you need to understand? You need to understand you're on holy ground. You've been this way many, many times over all of these 40 years. But this time, I'm in the bush, the Lord said, and where I am, that's holy ground. And where I am, take the shoes off your feet. It's holy ground. Joshua, what are you doing in chapter 5? As he stands before God with the Lord, his sword is drawn. What are you going to do, Joshua? Where are you going to go? The land. I have given it to you. And I'm ahead of you. So where you go, I'm ahead of you. And every place you put your foot, I've given it to you. It's holy ground. Holy ground. Never forget it. Where I am makes the ground holy. It's different. The ground is just ordinary dirt. But when I'm there, it's holy. And you know from Deuteronomy 23 and all of that, the Israel camp, when it comes to cleanliness, has to be clean from waste and everything. So when God says, when I walk up and down the land, I don't want to see any uncleanness. I want it to be holy, clean. I'm there. It's holy ground, holy, holy ground in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, without turning there for time's sake, and you know it in Leviticus chapter 10, 9 and 10, Leviticus 11, etc., 43, 45, what is it going to tell you? Teach, what are you going to do, Moses? Teach the people the difference between clean and unclean, between holy and unholy. Teach them the difference. Help them understand the world they live in is of one kind and God is another. God is holy. So don't look and say, everything's common. That it is. Except where God it makes it, where he is, it becomes holy. It becomes special where he is. And you know that if you can, over in 1 Peter, and you can do that just to stay awake, over to, if again, which you know very well, in the light of Leviticus 10 and 11, here in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter and chapter 1, you will note, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 14. As obedient children, 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. On the contrary, but as he which hath called you, in other words, you didn't know any better about anything. Everything seems okay, there's no difference. Verse 15, but, contrast, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's a requirement, be holy, for I'm holy. And you know that, say, well, how am I going to be holy? Because God is holy. And where God is holy ground. Where God is holy ground. That's what made the bush and the ground. And that's why the land, where they put their feet, I've given it to you. It's holy. I'm there. I'm there. So now, what are we doing, God? We're going to go, and we are to be holy. And we aren't going to find it in ourselves. There's no holiness in us. We're not like God. No. But when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God brings holiness into your heart. And Christ, who is your life and your Lord and your love, is also your holiness. He becomes our holiness. Where did we get holy? When we found ourselves in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's when we became holy. Holy. Not in me and not in you. Be holy. And by the way, we do it. Hang on just as a side light in the light of this morning. Slide over, if it came to Matthew, as I think of it. In Matthew, and in chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And remember when they said we're perfect. The word perfect, 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 perfect. When you get saved, it's perfect. It doesn't get more perfect. It's done perfecting itself. It's reached its end. God has accomplished what he wanted when he died on the cross to save you. He saved you, period. And you're saved. And all you're going to do is keep growing and knowing how much he saved you until he gets rid of your body at death or the rapture. And then you're going to have everything finished. He saved you. It's perfect, complete, finished. Perfect, the verb, perfect. All that has happened, perfect. And the result of it continues to be forever. So here again is the word interesting in the light of heat, in the light of holy. You know it. We've done it over the years many times. Matthew chapter 5. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans. Be ye therefore perfect. There's your little word. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And then people say, how am I going to be perfect? Right? How am I going to be perfect? Because he's perfect. He saved you perfectly. And that's why you're perfect. That's why you're holy. He's done. Now you need to exercise it in the light of your old nature, which is idolatry, which is idolatrous in itself. It doesn't want to yield. The flesh cannot please God ever. So therefore, back over if I can, in the light of all of that, God is going to go and help us in every way to walk in his wonderful, wonderful grace and to enjoy each step of the way. Now, so God has, we're doing all this to possess, and we have to possess it one step at a time. And so how are we going to do it? We just have to do one thing at a time. Jumping ahead just a little bit, Joshua chapter 6, looking at that, what did you do? What does God always do? He shows you how to do what he wants. He's a wonderful teacher, the Spirit of God is, and he helps us understand. If you got a new job at a factory or something, and you have to learn it, And you go, and what do you have to learn? The job. You don't know the job. You come in, and the people that know what that you're supposed to do try to train you to do what you do so you can do the job. That's what you do. Our Lord is busy. Matthew 11:29. Get your learning. Put my yoke upon your shoulders and get your learning from me. I'll teach you. I'm going to teach you how to go and how to do it. I'll take you down the corridor of time and help you to learn. So that's what Matthew 11:29 is, to help us to learn. He's the perfect one to teach us, and he's going to help us as we go down the corridor of time to learn. And he's very patient long before being angry, fortunately, and all of that, so that what? We can learn. Learn how to go, how to do the job. And you have to want to what? Because it's holy ground. It's ground made what? God saved you to exercise because he finds his home in your heart. God is going and exercising his wonderful will to be outworked. And you have to cooperate. I have to cooperate. I have to abide. I have to rest and trust him, believing, looking to him as he outworks everything in his most wonderful way, inch by inch, inch by inch. Not big steps, no, not very often. No, the only way we conquer and learn and get God's will finished, we have to go one step at a time. That's all we can do. Look at it, if you would. Over, if I can, in Psalm 119, as you know. In Psalm 119, and if I may, in all those, the Hebrew alphabet, and here 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God gives light. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. We walk in the light. It doesn't tell you 3 hours and 10, it doesn't tell you 2 weeks from now. It just says one step at a time, you walk in the light. That God gives you light. That's all you can do. The branch just abides in the tree 1 hour at a time. And the 1 hour at a time, it leads to the next hour, to the next year, to 10 years from now, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, one step at a time. 105, and look at 119, 130. Oh, the verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, one step at a time, wonderfully. That's how you're going to do it. You aren't going to do it 10 steps. You have to do it one step at a time. Move it, if you would, please, to Matthew in chapter 6. In Matthew in chapter 6, and going, if I can, again, chapter 6, and picking up the thought, looking at one step at a time. I'm going to go now. I'm going to read verse 32. Perhaps I'll read verse, all of it, context good. Therefore, 31, take no thought. Don't be worrying. Don't be divided up in your mind, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we clothe? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Therefore, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, you got to do one thing at a time in order to get all of it. Verse 34, and God warns us and says, take therefore no thought. Don't be divided and worried for the morrow, tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought. There's enough problems coming up tomorrow without you getting into it ahead of time. For the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough trouble in the world and in your life and in your body and everything else. So why don't you just go one day at a time? One day at a time. Just one day. That's all. Don't try to do 10 days. You have to do some of it, I understand. But you're really you're resting in what? Just now. The only sure thing I have is right now. And I need to trust you, God. And thank you. Now, I have no idea of 10 minutes from now. But I do know now. Therefore, in the light of that, in God's wonderful kindness, God's going to go one step at a time. James, the book of James, as you would know, tie that in one step at a time. And remind yourself, the book of James, and in chapter 4, and in chapter 4 of James, picking up the thought, if I may. Chapter 4, James, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, what are they saying? Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In other words, I got a great plan for next year. It's all going to take place. Verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And that's true. I have no idea. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. Lord willing, we'll do it. Lord willing, I'll do this. Lord, I haven't got there. I have no idea. But Lord willing, God. So, and verse 15, for that you want to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. But now you rejoice. You're rejoicing in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I'm going to do this, and you're overconfident. You have no knowledge of that. And what do? One step at a time. How can you conquer Jericho with the double walls? It's impossible. God's going to show them. God shows you everything. When is he going to take you? He gives the example. He's going to show them why God hath given them the land and they are to have the victory. And I'm going to show you, he said, let me show you Joshua. Let me show you Joshua. Let me show you the people what I'm going to do. I want you to follow my instructions. I'm going to go and conquer Jericho. But I want you to learn how you do it. So you aren't in the dark. So when I give you chariots of iron and giants of Anak and walled cities that seem as high as heaven, you're going to be able to do them. You're going to be able to do what you can't think you can't do one step at a time. One step at a time. One inch at a time. One day at a time. That's how you get to the next one. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God, what are we doing? God, here we are looking at the Israelites. And the Israelites are there going down the corridor of time. And in the process, God, what do we know? Well, that's for Israel. Israel is to dispossess the enemy. by possessing it, they're going to go and do the impossible, literally, the impossible. Why? Because it's holy ground, and God has given it to them. And God what? Has the sword drawn. He's going ahead of them. And you know from Revelation 19, the Lord is going to step out of heaven. Turn there to Revelation 19. The Lord God is going to step out of heaven and do his wonderful, wonderful thing. And what's he going to do? He's going to bring peace. He says, peace, peace, everybody. I love you all. It's going to be wonderful. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, 11. And I fell, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And that war is something else when he comes to judge the earth. Wow, that's called the war of all wars. I'm going to clean house in every way, shape, or form. I'm going to clean house and fix it. The sword is drawn, sliding down. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of his wrath, of God, fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. So God, what are we doing? Well, here's Joshua is going to go and take the land one step at a time. God, so what are we doing? That's what they're doing. They're to show the world that Israel is to possess the land, and Israel is going to possess the land. They aren't doing very good now in their unbelief, but the day's coming that they will. But it's going to take the tribulation and war to bring it about. That's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to war, and they're going to bring it about. So you know from Matthew 24, when you say, don't say there's no more wars, there are more wars. And when you think there's none, there's another one coming. But the day's coming that I will make war, Revelation 19. And when I'm done with that war, you're going to have 1,000 years of peace, real peace. I will rule the world with what? A rod of iron. That's why it's going to be peace. I want to rule with a rod of iron. Now, God, so here we are. Now, here's our little place. Here's communion. And here we are, God. Now, what are we doing? You've given us your wonderful person in a wonderful way to show your wonderful saving grace. So here we are, believers, I hope, for all of us. And we're saved, wonderfully, wonderfully saved in your saving way. Perfectly saved. Perfectly saved. That's underlined. Perfectly saved. And we need to know what? It's already done. And you're holy. We're holy. Because you're holy. And thus, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, the body belongs to the Spirit of God. It's holy. Hands. Same old hands. Same old everything. But he bought me with a price. He bought you with a price. That's with the blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Why are you doing it? You're showing the world. The world, just think what we did this morning. The world doesn't care about what? Getting together and exalting whatever they do and sing and exalt and worship. But what they won't do, the world can't honor God's saving grace in a human heart. Only human hearts that are saved can do it. And that's why God said, you'll know my disciples, because they're the only ones that really believe me. It's when they really believe. That's what they got, the difference. The world's religion up to here. The world is. They don't believe. They don't believe. They don't want to believe. That's why you're different. Because when you believe, you're real. And you need to be real among them. And so when you love each other, you're letting your exercise of God's wonderful life in you and God's wonderful life in the other. Yeah, like we shared this morning with the light bulb with that. In the process of doing that. And in the process, remember, God, these are carnal believers. Believers need to be what? In fellowship, abiding. And when they're abiding, they're lit. And when they're lit and bind together, it's light. Each one is light. And the world loves darkness rather than light. It hates this. Religion, we can do up to every, and we can have big rallies and do whatever. But just don't be lit. Don't be lit. Don't be lit. That is unacceptable to darkness. So therefore, what are we doing, God? It's our turn on planet Earth, and we're demonstrating God's grace. What do you mean you're demonstrating God's grace? That's right. That's what we're doing. We're showing the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's death, he died to save. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, I determined to know nothing among you. In Corinth, the great cosmopolitan city, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I'm going to tell you. Tell me some intellectual things. Oh God, no. What you need to know is you need to know him, and he died for you. And as long as you love darkness, you'll never get to light. You'll never get to light. So therefore, God, what are we doing? Do this communion in remembrance of me. And in doing so, you show, command, present tense, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. And that's what the world doesn't want to get a hold of. They love darkness rather than light. And that's why it's now an exception. So we're telling you silently in this testimony that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us. And we're in his presence. And we want everyone to know. We're preaching in the most loud way, silently, the Lord's death till he comes. With other words, like being at the cemetery, Veterans Cemetery, up there. When we live up there. And all those 18,000, whatever it is, graves. Speak so loudly in their silence. And all the people can yell, but all those graves say very much. They died. They died because, and in connection to our declaration, and boy, do they speak loudly. If you listen to them, boy, do they say it loud. We died so that you could pursue life. And you that are standing there looking at our graves, do you understand? We died so that you could stand there and look at our grave and be free. I don't want to get sidetracked, which is easy. Got the idea? You have to do this in remembrance of me, being mindful of who I am. So we'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace, kindness, and everything. So set apart, even this moment, God, one day at a time, one inch at a time, God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.